producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Tonight, each and every show, we kick it around with our pals from Talk Radio News. None better than Justin Duckham. Justin, you know, believe it or not, and you know this because you're right there. Hey, Congress isn't in session, but there's still a lot of things going on, including with the president as he's out speaking and talks about moving equal pay forward. The draft regs are really the latest in a series of what you would call, you know, his initiatives in pushing this. And, of course, other things also were talked about, including the fact that he's defending, you know, executive action. So I guess first let's talk about the executive action, the fact that he's on the defense with that.
Well, essentially he's saying that he right now is meeting with members of his administration, including Attorney General Eric Holder, as well as Jay Johnson, the Secretary of Homeland Security, saying that he is going to be probing every inch of the law to try to determine what he could do within his powers within the executive branch to try to do something about immigration reform. As you know, Congress, both chambers left home without really getting anything done on this. The House passed a purely symbolic piece of legislation that would only give about $659 million to you know, help combat the immigration issue as well as the humanitarian crisis along the border from the Central American youth. And the Senate ended up abandoning their legislation once it reached a Republican filibuster. So the ball is sort of in his court. He has, of course, been taking a lot of hits over this from Republicans primarily, who have argued that he has used his executive authority too thoroughly. But he does not seem like he is deterred by that argument and is going to be continuing to push on that one.
Yeah. All right. So he's not deterred in that. And what's the scoop on the whole equal pay thing? That was one of the things that Obama talked about the first time he was running around. So is this part of what I say is the second time his tour of the payoffs meeting? When I say payoffs meeting, okay, I promised I would do this. I promised I would do that. And this is one of the things I said I would work on. So is this why there's a big push with the equal pay?
Well, yeah, no, that, of course, is one of the reasons behind it. Also, the latest news on that front is an executive order that he issued in April. That's finally moving forward. What it would do would be essentially federal contractors who receive money from the U.S. would be required to publish their payment data and make it public to the Department of Labor and the public at large. And if that moves forward, which it looks like it's going to after a 90-day comment period, that would essentially encourage companies to sort of self-regulate in terms of equal pay since they know that the books are going to be open to them. So that's sort of the latest step Obama has taken in terms of federal contractors. You know, previously, another executive order that he issued was one that was sort of moving around ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, to ensure that federal contractors would essentially have to not discriminate based on sexual orientation or gender decisions. So this is sort of him trying to make up for inaction within Congress since any equal pay legislation has not yet been able to pass the Republican-controlled House.
What about Ebola? He said it was really premature to fast-track the Ebola drug, right? He talked about that?
He did talk about that. You know, today, of course, he was addressing the final day of the Africa Summit. So we had some discussions about whether or not the Ebola drug, which is apparently being, you know, used on Ebola patients in America, should be released quickly. He struck a pretty moderate tone on that. But meanwhile, we, of course, see the crisis reaching pretty bad levels. We know that, according to the World Health Organization, the number of deaths from Ebola have exceeded 900. And we also know that we're, you know, not really getting any end in sight. In fact, we're getting some pretty chilly reports of families who are simply putting, you know, bodies of Ebola victims in the street, which, you know, on one hand is a little scary
wow.
in its own right, but also sort of symbolizes how hard it's going to be to fight this virus in Africa, considering regulations are not always followed, especially when it involves direct individuals quarantine.
Yeah. How about this other thing about the VP, Joe Biden, and they're calling out for help from lawyers to try to process these kids, and Joe Biden saying, look, these are our kids. I think that was one of the top stories. What's the role of Biden here?
Well, I mean, Biden, of course, is sort of one of those tools that the president has at his disposal. We know that he's usually good at sort of rounding up, legislators on a certain side of an issue. We know he's, of course, good at sort of reaching audiences that the president is not historically, able to communicate to. But for this is essentially just sort of a reaction to, congressional inaction, which seems to be kind of the theme of the night, which is, apparently we don't have enough immigration lawyers, we don't have enough immigration judges to deal with the Central American youth crisis. So it makes sense that we would be sort of seeking outside help via Biden on this front.
All right. Thanks so much, Justin. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
So picking up on that whole Ebola theme, by the way, just to make this official, we were talking about the story of the man in New York who went into the hospital, thought maybe, geez, I just come back from there, I have headaches at Mount Sinai Hospital, boom. Within 7 minutes, they put him into isolation. Smart move on their part, right? He was there since Monday, he had a high fever, and he had a lot of gastrointestinal symptoms, which is part of this whole Ebola thing. He's in stable condition. He's improving. And the hospital says that he does not have the disease. Whew. Thank goodness. But the death toll from this outbreak is now 932. 45 patients died just between August 2nd and the 4th. These are all stats from the World Health Organization. Look, we know this is serious stuff. And this is why the concern. This is why we're talking about it. We've had people on from different directions here on America Tonight, because we can't completely turn a blind eye. As I mentioned before, the best thing about this, there's nothing good about it, but the one thing is it is not an airborne disease, thank goodness, because all bets would be off if this was like SARS. You remember the SARS thing, and that was like a freight train. There was no stopping it. There was nothing that could seem to stop it, and Ebola is not transferred that way, but through bodily fluids, which easily can also happen, not the same thing as when you're talking about airborne, thank goodness. I mean, thank goodness. There's massive concern about this. You know, you had a businessman in Saudi Arabia. You had a Spanish priest. A lot of people have been talking about him in Liberia. And this is a disease that once it grabs you, the mortality rate, not good. There is no cure. Now, the serum part is the interesting thing, because could this be the answer? Since there is no testing on this, it's experimental, it is way too premature, as we've talked about, to jump on this and say, wow, here we go. But I'd say this is showing great signs of perhaps something that can help all these poor people in Africa and other people, whoever comes across this. Because it's just one of those things that once it grips you, you're done. And, you know, we have that, of course, we have that want to try to come up with something to try to give somebody hope. And it's been more hand-holding in these Ebola cases than anything else. I mean, it's been that rough. So this drug, this experimental drug could, I say cautiously could, be the answer. Coming up on the flip side, the politics of the Gaza Strip. A lot of you throwing in on that. We're going to jump to that and go in a couple of different directions coming up a little bit later this hour. Welcome to America Tonight. See you in a few. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment food basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Well, now party and confused because lately you've been starting to lose.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Man, I am broadcasting from the plush studios here, the satellite facilities. I got engineers climbing all over me, I'm telling you. In the radio, it's theater of the mind. All right, so here's what the scoop is. We're talking about Ebola, and we're talking about a lot of the reaction, the world's reaction to this, which I think it's good to be cautious. I think it's good to be cautious about the serum. I've already mentioned that. And there's reason to be worried because of what's happened to so many people as a result of this. And the CDC has stepped in, and they're trying to do whatever they can. The patient testing negative in New York was a good thing. I think, obviously, as he went to the hospital and he, took it upon himself to find out what the symptoms were. You know, if the symptoms were something much more serious than what he originally thought. Hey, coming up in our next segment on America Tonight, we're going to talk with Charlotte Entree, and she's got an interesting business that she started. It's called List Doc. She's got an autistic son who had medical records all over the place and concerns. She had a lot of concerns about what was going to happen to him as he moved on and transitioned out of high school into other areas. And this business that she started is phenomenal and has helped so many other people, not just with medical records, but with so many other records that you lose track of and everything else. And just more than that, here is the situation where you have a woman who's got a problem, and she figures out a way around the problem, and now it's helping so many other people, but not just medically, in other senses, too. Some people are using, excuse me, the system for other things. So we'll talk to her coming up in our third segment of It's Your Business. We try to do that on America Tonight, and I always invite all of you, if you know somebody that has just an incredible business idea that has taken off, whether it's designing an app or coming up with some system that's helped so many people do XYZ, absolutely want to hear from you. It's easy. Go to americatonight.net, click on contact, and bada bing, you are in. Segging to a Mother Nature moment. It used to be when you turned on America Tonight, you'd hear about, wow, you know, we've got some wildfire raging through California or something else disastrous was happening in another part of the world. Now what's happening in Hawaii is surfers are excited about this, but the people who live there not quite as excited. The Big Island is under a hurricane warning. Hurricane Isel is expected to smash into the Big Island on Thursday night. They rarely make landfall in Hawaii, which is why I brought it up. There's always conversation about it, but they rarely hit land. Schools in Hawaii and the Big Island and Maui counties closed Thursday. That's how serious they're taking this, because it's expected to be pretty bad. When they're saying the storm has potential for 90-mile-an-hour winds, they don't want to mess around with this, right? They're not going to take any chances with this. And because Hawaii is just such a rare... It's funny if you think about it, because any island could be vulnerable, right? But Hawaii is pretty much a rare target for these tropical actions, cyclones or hurricanes, any of that. So the people get anxious when they hear it because they know they're exposed. They know in the Big Island they're exposed. They're an island of Maui. They're exposed. You got to get to do what we have to do here on the mainland. Get bottled water, board things up, figure out what your plan is. Heavy rain means maybe flooding, airports, problems getting planes in and out, that kind of stuff. And Hawaii doesn't usually have to prep for this for cyclones. They don't do it. I mean, it's so relatively new, I don't think they have a lot of records on this. But 90-mile-an-hour winds, my friends, on an island like the Big Island or Maui, yeah, it would be pretty scary. You would feel the impact of that. And if you were somebody who saved your pennies and you're there at whatever hotel in this gorgeous paradise and the hurricane comes, it turns into a hurricane, it's a cyclone, whatever, not fun. Not fun. And this is just what happens as part of, you know, tourism is the big dollars in Hawaii, and there are going to be tons of tourists there. It's still the summer, and in the summer you have a lot of people that will take vacations and go to Hawaii. It's not just necessarily through the colder months. A lot of times it's in the summer months too as well. So there'll be some people, I believe, if it does touch down, that will feel the effects of 60-mile-an-hour winds or all the way up to perhaps 90-mile-an-hour winds. This story is an interesting story that just broke, and this is why, as I said, we were going to kind of zig and zag in some different directions. It's partially because of this. Top Khmer Rouge leaders have now been found guilty of crimes against humanity, and they're going to face life sentences. Two actual ex-leaders of what is absolutely, hands down, one of the most brutal regimes in Cambodia were found guilty, and they get life imprisonment. This is a big, big deal. I mean, 35 years after the fall of Cambodia's genocidal KR regime, the people that were believed to be responsible for, check this number out, 1.7 million people's deaths between 75 and 79 are answering. I mean, only a single person has ever been brought to justice ever over one of the, you have to say, against humanity, one of the greatest atrocities that we've ever heard of. So now these life sentences for the two that are accused, who both deny guilt and both are trying to be acquitted. The men were senior leaders in the Khmer Rouge regime. They ruled Cambodia in the 70s, as I already mentioned. During that time, all those people, and it could even be more, that's about a quarter of the Cambodian population at the time, died from starvation, execution, forced labor, any ruthless thing you can imagine. It happened. It happened. I mean, purely, there was no struggle, there was no way out. Once you were one of the charges, they did whatever they pleased with you. I mean, it was bad business. Really bad business. So I think this is great. I mean, I think it's great that they've got these charges, that they have a lot of documentation. They have people that are witnesses, and I think they're going to nail these guys, you know, nail this whole thing shut. And they face, basically the charges allege these crimes against humanity. That's what they're called, committed in the mass population movements of the Khmer Rouge when they came to power. And it was large-scale execution of officials, officers, all the previous regime. So it was it's nasty, nasty, nasty people. And the prosecutors say that about 20,000 deaths, because there was a big evacuation, if you remember, to try to help. So during the evacuation, there's about 20,000 people that died from that. Exhaustion, execution, and the evacuees were subjected to unbelievable mistreatment. I mean, just evil, vile people. How many times and how many different adjectives can I use? But when you have to go back and think, and you're thinking of history in terms of history, that's what I can relate to, and conversations with people removed from the Khmer Rouge, but new people there, I just remember how barbaric the tales were. I mean, just how awful what they did. The genocide. I mean, this was genocide is what it was. So now this is this is some people answering for just unspeakable things that happened to people that should never, ever have been allowed to occur. But who was there, and, you know, who ultimately was going to help? As I said, coming up on the flip side, I'm going to introduce you to a businesswoman who found the need but didn't know what to do because there wasn't anything that could really help her. So she created a system herself, which I think is so fascinating. It's now turned into a business, in fact, a family business, where her 19-year-old autistic son, who this system was designed for, is actually helping, is actually part of it. And how often, when there's a need, does something spring out from that need and ultimately take off? And it's one of the, I think it's one of the more interesting stories we've had in the last couple of months, human interest-wise, of somebody that decided to roll up their sleeves. They had the ingenuity, came up with a process, and created something that could change your life, my life, and the guy down the street. Stay with us.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from Pro Flowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to proflowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's proflowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Life's getting better.
Hey folks, this is Larry Crisp for BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com. I'm sure you know, this economy sucks. We all realize that the American economy is tremendously unstable right now and will likely get much worse. There's monumental debt, government bailouts, stock and real estate bubbles that are primed to pop at any moment, which can flush away most or all of your retirement savings. This type of movement has enormous consequences. Virtually zero sectors of the economy are hiring and workforce participation is at record lows. Financial trouble is right here at our doorstep. But if you move right now and develop a backup plan immediately, this could be the most profitable time of your life. Proportionally, more millionaires were created during the Great Depression than at any time in our history. Get my free report at BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com or call 888-507-8789 for my free report. 888-507-8789 and prepare to profit as history repeats itself.
The land of race car yayas. The land where you can't change lanes.
All right, folks, you're not going to believe this. How about the Federal Appeals Court that's asking to rehear a pretty big, really landmark race preferences case? That's the best way to put it. If you remember this case, and boy, we talked about this a ton here on America Tonight, leading up to it and then afterwards and all that sort of thing, but the Federal Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is asking for the entire court to actually hear an appeal of the case of Abigail Noel Fisher versus the University of Texas at Austin. So what does that mean? If you remember what the Supreme Court found, remember what happened, and again, it was about the University of Texas at Austin's affirmative action policy, saying that it was acceptable without undergoing any of the appropriate legal analysis. So now you look at it, the appeals court has obviously just ignored what the Supreme Court's directive was and declared what I just said, that UT, which is a stone's throw away from our studio, by the way, that their policy is acceptable without blah, blah, blah. So now you look at it from a constitutional law point of view and through a couple of different eyes. Using race as an admissions factor. Is that where we are at this point in, you know, this country? And if it's a factor, is it really, should it be the last resort, not the first thing that's looked at? Joining us now in our virtual green room in, I think he's in Los Angeles, Joe Hicks, former executive director of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the Los Angeles chapter, and Project 21. Joe, thanks for coming back on America Tonight. You heard a little bit of what I said. We remember that Supreme Court decision 7-1 back last year, and now here we are. It was kicked back to the Fifth Circuit. This is kind of crazy, isn't it?
It really is. But I'm not surprised, Kate. The U.S. Supreme Court has now had a history of issuing very sort of timid decisions around this issue of racial preferences. They did it in 2003 with the Grutter Gratz case. It was about race preference at the University of Michigan. They've consistently issued these kind of rulings. They did it again in the Fisher case. And just so, you know, since you're there in Texas and some of your listeners are familiar, but let me just cap it off very quickly. The court, in essence, in the Fisher case, said, okay, we're really suspicious of this thing. There's a compelling state interest in issuing racial preferences to folks, so we're going to send it back to the Fifth Circuit that initially ruled on it and have them look at it and use strict scrutiny to figure out whether or not the University of Texas was doing the right thing in putting their thumb on the scales to then reach for this cosmic justice thing of diversity for that university. After it goes back to the Fifth Circuit looks at what University of Texas is doing and saying, yeah, it looks okay to us, fine. And they then vacated that and said they're doing fine. Of course, Fisher and her attorneys immediately say that's insane, and obviously they are appealing that, which will ironically kick it back to the Supreme Court. So it's right back in the laps of the Supreme Court. And I'm hoping that this time, Kate, the court has the huevos to say, okay, we're finally going to put some of the nails in the coffin of racial preferences and do what we should have done the first time. I was just reading today, again, thinking about I was going to talk to you tonight. I was reading Clarence Thomas's dissent in that case, and he said, listen, we should have taken that opportunity and ruled in a very definitive way, not this, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, and kind of ruled in this kind of wishy-washy way that kicked it back to the Fifth Circuit. So we're right back to ground zero, and now we'll see what the Supreme Court does. They've got another bite at the apple to get it right a second time.
When people listen to you, what if they say, Joe, are you kidding me, man? Why are you saying that? That doesn't make any sense. Wasn't it lopsided before? Wouldn't this give somebody who should have perhaps a better chance to grab the brass ring? Shouldn't they be able to do that? What do you say when people come at you with that? Because I guarantee they do.
Well, the lawyers for the University of Texas had very little ground to stand on. What they basically were arguing is that, listen, you know, everybody agrees that diversity is a good thing, quote unquote. So all we're trying to do is make sure that our campus looks like Texas. So we've got to give some kind of balancing out to make sure that we have, and let's be honest here for a minute, the racial preferences that are supposedly about minorities is really about black and Latino applicants. It's not about Asians. It certainly has nothing to do with white applicants because Abigail Fisher was a young white woman at that point when she filed this lawsuit because she got turned away from a seat in a classroom at the University of Texas because her skin was not the right color. So the lawyers did as good a job as they could trying to defend the policies of the University of Texas. Obviously, seven of the justices were very suspicious of their arguments. So I think now is a very good time because I think some of the justices who ruled against the University of Texas, by the way, so I'm not saying it was a bad ruling, it was a weak ruling because what they didn't do was take that opportunity to take the bull by the horns and finally say, no, there is no compelling state interest in this issue of diversity. You can't use race as any part of the application process. You know, John F. Kennedy, a good Democrat, though today he'd probably be seen as a conservative, said race has no place in American life or law. He was obviously right then, and he's right now, and there's no way you can justify discriminating against somebody because of the color of their skin for some cosmic idea of diversity. So anyway, it's back into the laps of the Supreme Court, and now they're going to have another shot at saying in very strong terms, University of Texas, no, you cannot discriminate. The 1964 Civil Rights Act says you can't do that. So let's really hope that, keeping my fingers crossed here, you never know sometimes how this stuff goes, but I'm hoping they do the right thing this time around.
Yeah, what does your gut tell you on that if you're handicapping it?
My gut tells me that they are going to rule in a much stronger term because I think they're now a little bit angry at the Fifth Circuit. Now they've got something on the line because they heard the case, they heard the oral arguments, they remanded the case back to the Fifth Circuit. expecting the Fifth Circuit to do its job to investigate fully and to hold the University of Texas accountable for their racial preference policies and then sanction the University of Texas and say there are things you can't do. But they didn't do that. The Fifth Circuit gave them a pretty clean bill of health. And I think that's going to really kind of piss folks off at the Supreme Court because they're going to say, listen, you guys should have looked at that and done your jobs. So the Fifth Circuit, by the way, so your listeners know, is one of those courts, like the Ninth Circuit here in California, that has overruled more often by the Supreme Court than any other circuit in the country. So the Fifth and the Ninth Circuit is one of those circuits a lot of liberal judges on that tend to rule in ways that makes the Supreme Court look at them and go, that's kind of silly. No, you can't say that. And then they will rule in opposition to what the court says. My gut tells me we're going to get a much stronger ruling against race-based preferences this time around.
Yeah, and what's the danger of that in the first place, that somebody's not academically up to it, so then it just leads to problems anyway?
Here's the real problem. If you use racial preference and give entering students 9 points, 10 points up to get them into a seat at the University of Texas or any university, frankly, those kids aren't really able, in many cases, to compete at the level of academic rigor that that calls for. They find themselves in over their heads. They often will begin to fail classes or get poor grades. They will sometimes either drop out or get extremely poor grades, which will then affect them later on down the road when they go for jobs and some employer checks back and looks at their scores and go, you know, this isn't a particularly successful student, and pass them over. So, it affects them later in life in terms of when they enter into the real world where competition is very tough. I mean, we're still, despite what Barack Obama wants to have us believe, we're still in a very tough competitive environment in the workplace where employers have their choice of employees or applicants for jobs, and they do things like check and see what your grade point average was in college. How did the student perform? Are they the kind of applicant that's going to come in and have the savvy and the ability to compete at that level? And so they get handicapped. It's really interesting. Rich Standard, a buddy of mine who's a law professor at UCLA, has done a study of this, and he's done what he calls a mismatch theory that says a lot of entering minority students, and I'm excluding here Asians because Asians are doing better academically than any other, quote, racial group in the university. So we're basically talking about black and Latino students, that those students who come in with racial preferences, particularly in law and other rigorous kind of environments, tend to do poorly, tend to find themselves struggling, will drop out. If they don't, they will graduate with very poor grades. If they're in the law environment, chances are they aren't going to pass the bar. They will never become lawyers. So the mismatch theory says that it does students no good when you give them racial preferences because it hinders them in the real world in which they have to be competitive and do well at that level. And that's the real harm here. I mean, there are a lot of harms based on racial preferences, either in the moral realm or in the constitutional realm, because you have to say, is it moral for us to give, and that was a big issue about in civil rights, because black civil rights advocates said, we're suffering because we're at the other end of racial preferences. White people were always getting the racial preferences. Now it's flipped, and we have black and, in some cases, Latinos getting the racial preferences. It wasn't right when white supremacy was part of the way the country did its business. It's no much better now when blacks are getting racial preferences. It's still a racial preference. It's still discrimination. And ask Abigail Fisher how she felt having been turned down, because her skin color wasn't, quote, the right skin color.
Yeah, well said. Joe Hicks, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Great, great, great guest. We'll talk to you again soon.
Kate, great being with you. Yeah. Oh, what a rough trip.
Oh, what a rough trip, yeah. What good is a big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. And HB Extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB Extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again. And they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30-bottle, 30-day summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.
Do good people ever want to call an attorney just to find out if they're right or wrong? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what are you forced to think about first? Money. If you could call as often as you wanted and talk as long as you need without a bill, would you call? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Turning around those final couple of right-hand turns and a few left-hand turns. Wrapping up this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I often say it's about the numbers, and one of my favorite segments that we often do on this show is called We Can Count. If you do any tube watching, you may have heard about the Big Bang Theory. The actors were holding out, but they got huge raises. Cast members portraying Sheldon Cooper, Leonard Hofstadler, and Penny will now make $1 million each an episode. So that's pretty much what the Friends actors got at the end of the show's historic run, if you remember the show Friends. What does it mean? It means that they're getting a pay raise of 233%. That's pretty nice. So I thought it'd be fun to break down some of the numbers, as everybody else is doing, by the way. 24 episodes. Do the math. That means the actors are working about 40 hours a week. That's $25,000 an hour. Listen, I say they should get what they can get, because these studios are making a ton of money. if you say that they work, let's say, 60 hours a week, but usually it's not that, but let's say it's 60, then that would be $16,000 an hour. Wow. The median age, or wage, as I was just reading on CNN, for fast food workers is $8.81 an hour. Think about that. $25,000 an hour. I mean, even if you wanted to go high-end, some lawyers, a high-end lawyer, $800 an hour, maybe $1,000 an hour. But good for them, because it looked like, oh, maybe this drags out. And as I said, I'm all about capitalism because the studios are making big money, so why shouldn't the actors get a big chunk of it? Because, after all, they are the series. All right, speaking of numbers, sometimes the numbers we talk about are terrific, and sometimes the numbers are not so great. The president is looking to plug up some big tax loopholes, or specifically, really, one. The president said that they're reviewing the options to act without congressional approval to stem the wave of so-called tax inversions. The trend has certainly accelerated in the last years, backed by Wall Street, for overseas tax rates that are lower than the U.S. rate of 35%. This is what they want to do. They want to stop companies that want to slash their tax bills by moving overseas. The president has voiced concern with the inversion, saying it's a blow to economic patriotism, but that's all they've done. They haven't done anything else. Now they're talking about actually going after it, actually plugging the gap. He says the cost inversions are putting a bunch of hardworking Americans who either pay through higher taxes themselves or reduce services. So there has to be a way to bring this back. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew says there's much more work to be done before an announcement, but they're considering some possible things they could do. Ways they could change the tax inversion. What is it that they could do? Well, you know what? You look at what it was and what it is, and if you... You know, companies that have inverted from 1983 to 2003, 29. From 2004 to 2013, 47. A lot of companies say, you know what, lower the tax rate and we'll come back. We'll bring it back. That's all we're looking for. If they would actually do it or not, who knows, but that often has been said, let's put it that way. There's a Chinese city that decided they're having none of it. They're banning Islamic dresses and beards, anything that is the style of it. People wearing that kind of clothing or large beards are banned from riding public buses during the sports games in northwest China. That ban kicked in at the beginning of the week in the city of Karame in the country's northwest region. And its passengers wearing veils, large beards, and any of the Islamic dresses. Dozens of public bus stations in the city are going to be manned by security to check the bus. So they're serious about it. The measures are being imposed during the games. They end on August 20th. Then people are free to wear what they want to wear. Last week, about 100 people, most of them terrorists, according to their state media, were killed in the area. 37 people died, and people gunned down 59 terrorists. So that's what they're talking about, 96 in all. And this is what this ban is partially about. Trying to prevent, in a very public day, anything nefarious from happening. So just heading it off at the pass and saying no to any Islamic style dress, period, on any of the buses, headdresses, any other kind of dress, any of that just won't fly. All right, you're going to sit up and pay attention to this. Of all the numbers that I've said and droned on and on about, here's a big fat one for you. 25 million Americans are now exempt. Yes, could be you. From having to pay a penalty for not having health insurance. A new congressional report says that there's about that many. who don't have health insurance, they're not going to have to pay the penalty in 2016 because of the number of exemptions. I just saw this today in the Wall Street Journal, and they actually pointed to the Congressional Budget Office and the Joint Committee on Taxation. They reported that the number of people expected to pay the fine in 2016 has dwindled to 4 million from the previous projection of 6, so 30 million Americans probably don't have health insurance. The Affordable Care Act was upheld by the Supreme Court. You all know this. The show was there, actually, when this was going on, June 2012, in a ruling based in part on acceptance of the administration's argument that the law's individual mandate was not a tax. And Republicans have argued that the Obama administration is actually determining its own argument by issuing so many exemptions and should scrap the mandate completely. So people whose insurance plans were canceled because they didn't meet the minimum coverage requirement, they have an exemption that runs until October of 2016. They are also allowed to buy a minimum amount of coverage originally available to people under 30. Yeah. I think we're going to see a more rippling effect to everything that's happened as a result of the Affordable Care Act, especially if you look at people's premiums and they quadruple. And this is an old story that we've talked about, but I think the shock of that is going to really kick in for people who have no idea what's coming their way. Here's another one that's, I think, pretty interesting. Venezuela in the news. And why is Venezuela in the news? Venezuelan oil company is looking to sell its U.S. arm Citgo for no less than $10 billion. $10 billion. Because the country is considering selling off its oil refining and distribution network in the U.S. because of the economic crisis. Last week, the state-owned parent company, Petróleos de Venezuela, signaled the interest in finding a buyer for Citgo. They confirmed it. It's true. It's just not a rumor. The company last year reported sales of $42.3 billion earnings before interest, taxes, you know, the whole thing, depreciation and whatnot, of $1.8 billion. They need revenue. Venezuela is Latin America's largest oil exporter. It was in 2003. It sent about 1.8 million barrels a day, but production has declined in recent years. Global prices for crude are lower with the hydraulic fracturing technology that has really turned things around, revolutionized it, in fact. Be interesting to see if anybody jumps to try to buy Citgo. Hey, thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Springtime is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.